It's Bucky and Aaron.
It's called a black racer. Look it up, BK. See if it's one of the fastest snakes, maybe one of the fastest snakes in the world. But it got to me. I was in fifth grade, and I had a good knee then.
Black racer?
And I had a good knee.
Sure this wasn't a dream of yours?
No, this is the real deal. What are you looking at?
Racers are fast snakes, but they can still only crawl at about 4 miles per hour. How slow are you biking?
I was in fifth grade.
What are you, Alex Loeb? Don't know how to ride a bike.
No!
Pedal, man!
They will give me the fastest snake in the world, then. The Ball Dad coached up that snake.
LeVar Ball?
LeVar Ball coached him up.
Life in the Fast Lane.
That's a good
certainly,
song.
Right. Oh, that's a great song. Yeah, that's a great song. The Eagles bringing you that one. But, BK, good job on the rejoin, and we're living life in the Fast Lane. We've got 1 hour left. On a Friday show, which means it always gets a little loose and fun on the 23rd of June. It'll be 102 degrees today, get you into a busy weekend. And a couple of notes, remember, Big Ugly Outdoors now starts at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. If you used to listen to Casey and Lyle every Saturday, you get an hour extra of sleep. They're going 7 to 9 starting tomorrow.
I'm taking this chair out of here, too. I'm not letting that big fool sit in here naked,
come
all
on, man,
sweaty up in this leather
chair.
Oh, no, it's leather, no.
Casey was in here yesterday. He's looking good. He's down. He said he's down like 280, 285 and working out. Looking
it's
good.
Enough to have Kevin Dunn sit in his chair with his filthy body, much less Casey.
He's fat.
Man, don't be so
yeah, I'm uppity about this chair.
About your chair. It's just a chair.
I don't know, man. Some of those guys, and Casey, and that's the truth, right, BK? They're actually in here with no shirts on?
Yeah, it's just Casey. It's not Lyle.
Oh, Lyle keeps the shirt on.
Lyle's a composed human being. Casey's just something else, man.
Animal.
Of course, we've already gotten the obligatory Big Lebowski text. I hate the blanking Eagles, man.
Already?
It's from Big Lebowski.
Yes.
The film. Okay, so we've got the NBA draft to recap. We've got all the news, including previewing your baseball weekend. But I had to mention, because last hour we stumbled into taking your dog to dinner and how you are against people bringing their dog to dinner, especially
sorry
when it's 102
that.
Degrees outside.
I'm just sorry about
and it.
It
turns out I didn't even
that.
Know this at the time, but today is National Bring Your Dog to Work Day.
Oh, God.
That's what it says here. National Bring Your Dog to Work Day. So when we come out of this studio, there might be a bunch of dogs here.
I'm not.
You need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here.
I'm a dog guy, man. I'm a dog person, but I'm an outdoor dog. My dogs have always been outdoor dogs.
Had dogs as long as I've known you.
And dogs don't come up on my couch or come in the bedroom and get in the bottom of the bed with me. It's not a place for a dog. Dog belongs outside.
Bring your dog to work
day. Dog is a part of the family.
Of course
yes.
It is.
But the dog doesn't get to sit at the table with me. Dog doesn't use utensils. Like these pictures of these dogs you're showing right here. The dog doesn't get to use a utensil or use the phone. When a dog picks up the phone and makes a phone call, then the dog can do certain things. Or when a dog goes and gets a job or whatever. But your dog belong outside. You don't belong at the restaurant underneath the table.
It's just chilling with the family, man.
Chill with the family at the house. Bring the dog out there. I was at Jack Allen's. I was at Jack Allen's last night. Guess what I didn't see?
Dogs.
One dog. Having dinner last night.
Well, not all restaurants allow it, and that's their own protocol. But I know this. There's plenty of bratty kids that I'd rather you left at home and not brought to dinner than the dog, usually.
Very, very, very. You're right, E. Let me just tell you something about Jack Allen's, as a matter of fact. Jack Allen's is a great restaurant. They opened up a new restaurant out there up north. Jack's opened up
another
restaurant.
One.
Another one.
They're all going
another
well.
One, and they're
it's
all going well.
Restaurant.
They're all going well. But you know what I noticed in a Jack Allen restaurant? People communicate. They're not on the phones. It's the most unusual thing I've ever seen. I go to other restaurants, and people are doing something with their phones or their kids are doing something. When you go to Jack Allen's restaurant, guess what they do? They all talk to each other. Everybody at the restaurant. A family sits there. They talk together.
No phone zone.
It's a no phone zone. Maybe they have that at that. You're still doing that once. You still do that with the kids every once in a while?
Now and again. I mean, they're all spread out with three teenagers, so we don't go out to eat as a whole family very often. When we can do it, we make it happen. But, I'm just saying, there are some people whose kids, they're just, like, poorly behaved, and the parents aren't even doing anything about it. It's like, yo, I want you to stick a phone in his face so he'll simmer down over there.
Yeah, after that lady told me to mind my own business in the HEB, I was kind of done with getting people's stuff.
Giving him advice.
Well, she yanked the kid.
Pulled his arm out of socket.
Pulled the kid's arm so hard. And I said, how would you like me to come over and pull your arm like that? She said, why don't you mind your own business? I'm like, oh, okay. Damn, I think I will. I'm just going to move along. So I call, what is it, Child Services on you.
Hey, let's get some headlines here. Get you caught up if you're just tuning in at 9 o'clock hour. NBA draft recap, a little baseball. Let's get to it. Ticket City Update Desk. Headlines brought to you by Gas Logs Express and Barbecue Grills. And yes, NBA draft was last night. Went as expected for the most part. 76ers take Washington point guard Markelle Fultz with the first pick. Lakers follow with Lonzo Ball from UCLA. Pac-12 point guards go 1-2. That started a string of seven straight freshmen picks in the top seven picks. Celtics took Duke's Jason Tatum at number three. Suns took Josh Jackson out of Kansas. Sacramento Kings took Kentucky guard and Houston area product De'Aaron Fox with the fifth pick. Nine of the first 10 selections were just one-and-done players, one season of college ball and on to the pros. That included the Dallas Mavericks, who selected NC State point guard Dennis Smith Jr. with the ninth pick. Spurs at 29 for the second straight year took a point guard, nabbing Colorado senior guard Derek White. With that 29th pick, DeJounte Murray was the pick in that same spot a year ago. Brooklyn Nets had the 22nd pick, and they took the former Longhorn, Jared Allen.
And with the 22nd pick in the 2017 NBA Draft, the Brooklyn Nets select Jared Allen from the University of Texas.
So that's where he'll begin his pro career. A blockbuster move of the night were the Bulls trading all-star Jimmy Butler and the 16th pick to Minnesota for high flyer Zach LaVine, point guard Kevin Dunn, Chris Dunn. Kevin Dunn does our afternoon show. And the number 7 pick, which became Arizona sharpshooter Lauri Markkanen. Baseball, Rangers win yesterday. They earned a four-game split of that four-game series with Toronto, 11-4. Carlos Gomez homered twice, drove in five. Rangers pull back even at 36-36 overall. They now play 20 of their next 26 on the road, starting with a three-game set in the Bronx this weekend against those Yankees. Houston Astros are the first Major League team to 50 wins in the MLB. As they got it yesterday, they sweep the A's. Four straight, beat them 12-9. They're 50-24 on the year. Houston now heads to Seattle for a weekend set with the Mariners. Round Rock opened their weekend series with Iowa with a 4-1 win. Will Middlebrooks hit a pair of home runs, drove in three, same two again tonight, and all weekend long at Dell Diamond. Tonight's a Bud Light Fireworks Friday. College World Series in Omaha, and how about those TCU Horned Frogs staving off elimination again? This was a nail-biter as they held on to and beat Louisville 4-3, eliminating the Cardinals. They advanced to the Final Four in college baseball. They're going to face unbeaten Florida in a semifinal game tonight. Now remember, Frogs got to beat the Gators twice to get to that championship series next week. In the NFL, Derek Carr, the Oakland Raiders, finalizes the largest contract in NFL history yesterday. 5 years, $25 million, just edging out the deal Andrew Luck got a year ago from the Colts. And after one round of the PGA's Travelers Championship in Cromwell, Connecticut, it's Jordan Spieth on top. Fired a 63 yesterday, his lowest first round as a professional. And that's the news.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Gas Logs Express and Barbecue Grills.
There it is.
You know, we talked a lot about, when we have been talking NFL lately, we've talked about Derek Carr and some of the other teams throughout the league, but we've kind of, and we'll have plenty of time, obviously, to talk about the Dallas Cowboys, but I'm not quite sure the Dallas Cowboys are going to be there next year, even with the two young guns. I still think they're a year away after next year. I'm sorry about that, Jerry. But one more year, not this year coming up. I think the following year is going to be their year.
Well, that stands to reason. The offense seems to be built, but they're actually going through the rebuild on their defense now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with all those draft picks and letting seven starters from a year ago walk via free agency, and they're replacing them with young players. Typically, young players don't come in and play like veterans, right?
I just don't think that, especially in a secondary.
Well, secondary, up front, linebacker. I mean, they're going to be starting a lot of new faces and young faces. That's their goal. It's kind of like on, you know, they rebuilt the defense or the offense through the offensive line draft picks and, you know, drafting Dez Bryant, you know, then Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott. You know, so that side of the ball is built to be a true championship contender. That defense has to improve, and that may take a couple of off seasons, starting with this one. But we'll see. Their offense can help their defense. Their offense, and Rod Marinelli is a miracle worker on the defensive side. You know, you feel like if the defense can play at the same level or a little higher than they did a year ago, they'll be right back. Because that offense isn't going to lose a lot of games. They're hard to stop.
No. They can score.
They were a 13-win team a year ago.
Right.
I mean, I still think they're a 10-11-win caliber team this year. Maybe 12, but their divisions have improved. I think the Redskins, they still have Kirk Cousins, and they were in the playoffs a year ago.
Giants have improved.
Or were almost in the playoffs a year ago. Giants, I think, have really improved. And they're trying to be a better running team for Eli Manning. They added Brandon Marshall. Their defense was rebuilt a year ago. So, and Philadelphia, you'll see with Carson Wentz.
Getting a little bit better the second year around with Carson Wentz. But But one thing that you've said, and you've said this for the last couple of years, that it's true, and you look at the numbers, if you don't knock the quarterback down and you don't get to the quarterback and you don't have a sacker, it's hard to win in this league when the quarterback has a chance to throw down the field and he doesn't get pressured. And the Dallas Cowboys don't pressure anybody. And I don't see what they have this year that makes them a better pressure team.
I don't know that Taco Charlton's going to come in and immediately
right. You
know, impact their pass rush that significantly. They're hoping that it's a combination of DeMarcus Lawrence and those guys getting another year under their belt, David Irving continuing to grow into that position, Malik Collins and that crew up front on the interior. So, and Rod Marinelli does a really good job. Do they have the personnel? I mean, Jalen Smith will be a big factor. If he can be an impact player at linebacker in his second year coming off that horrible knee injury.
Yeah, he's got that limp leg or whatever going on,
the
right?
Drop foot that continues to bother him. And we talked to Matt Mosley yesterday in this spot, and he talked about he's still out there in a brace that kind of goes from his knee all the way to his ankle that helps keep his foot from it's a weird contraption that he wears just to be out on the field. So, yeah, there are questions on the defensive side of the ball, but there were questions on defense a year ago, and they won 13 games. So,
well, that's how good that offense was.
Right, and now you have a year, and that I think the offense will be better.
Well, I do too. I think offensively they're going to be better. I think you're going to see more home runs by the running back. I think he'll have more runs, long runs for touchdowns. Because he's set his mind to it. He's talked about, I missed some opportunities. And if you watched him last year, he missed some opportunities for home runs. And I think you'll see that with him this year. But
well, Dez Bryant again, feels like he's poised for a great season.
He's healthy.
He hasn't had one since he signed that big contract. They drafted the kid Ryan Switzer out of North Carolina, another one of those Cole Beasley guys. And he's getting rave reviews in camp where no one can cover him. He's just lightning quick.
But if you can't sack Aaron Rodgers...
Yeah,
because they're going to the playoffs, right? Well, the Packers
to get to the playoffs or get to the Super Bowl, you got to beat a guy like Aaron Rodgers or Matt Ryan, Cam Newton potentially, Drew Brees. I mean, these are the guys you got to beat. Russell Wilson, you got to be able to hit those quarterbacks, or else they're going to get in a rhythm and you're going to be in trouble, just like Aaron Rodgers did a year ago. Now, the Aaron Rodgers thing against the Packers a year ago was as much the coverage as anything. I mean, guys were running wide open, so it was a bad combination of little pressure and open receivers, and that's never good for Aaron Rodgers. And that's why they went out and completely rebuilt their secondary, and they feel like they'll be more athletic and be able to cover more and better in that back end. But as you said, that's yet to be proven. These are all young players who have to show a lot in year one.
Yeah, and as for this texter who says they're not going to pay Kirk Cousins the kind of money to Derek Carr, yes, they are. Yes, they are. The Washington Redskins, at the end of this second time of what they're doing with their quarterback, Cousins, they're going to sign him. He may not get 25, but he's going to get damn close to 25.
Oh, yeah, obviously that Derek Carr contract impacts all quarterbacks, and Kirk Cousins would be in that conversation. Now, they can't franchise him again.
Well, he's getting 23 for 2 years. He's getting 23 now.
They've already franchised him twice. They can't franchise him a third time.
I understand.
Which means he's going to be a free agent, which means he can go anywhere, and someone will pay him that.
He's going to get close to it, right?
Sure. He'll get between 22 and 25 million bucks, but he would have gotten that this year.
That's
in a
true.
New contract. I mean, that's where the quarter going right for quarterbacks. And Kirk Cousins is not. Look, I think Derek Carr is more worthy of that contract than Kirk Cousins. I think he's got a higher ceiling, and I think he's a better long-term player than Kirk Cousins. But Kirk Cousins is a 4,000-yard passer who, in a quarterback-starved league, heck, wait till Dak Prescott is able to sign a new contract.
Oh. He's going to ask for some money probably.
But again, that's the luxury the Cowboys have right now with he and Zeke Elliott because of the collective bargaining agreement. Those two can't even talk about a new contract for three more seasons. I mean,
I'd be mad if I was those guys. I'd be like, damn.
They're getting endorsements out the wazoo.
Yeah, they're doing
fine.
Yeah, so what is it? Two
they're
more
doing
years?
Fine.
I think after year three, you can start talking new contract. And, and that's where, Derek Carr, that's where Derek Carr is. So we'll see. Cowboys, yes. Season gets going in, they'll go to training camp come July.
Yeah, out to they'll
Oxnard,
be ready to go.
Out to Oxnard.
Then come back to their new facility.
Right. Well, let me say this on the NBA's draft last night as it went down. I think Minnesota be real interested to see if they could take a big step. Tom Thibodeau needed a tip-of-the-spear type guy, a leader, a bunch of young guys, and I think they got exactly what Thibodeau needed in Jimmy Butler. He now falls into a lineup that includes Andrew Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns and Ricky Rubio, that's a pretty salty group in the Western Conference now. So that'll be a fun one. That's really the major move I saw last night that maybe can impact the balance of power a little bit, not just this coming year, but in the future in the West, because that team can now grow together with Tom Thibodeau, who's a hard-nosed coach. But one of the things, we talked to Ari Temkin last hour about the Spurs, and he now believes that the Spurs are likely to trade LaMarcus Aldridge, and they kind of have to because things have soured, and they've got to find a trade partner. You know, and then you said that you've said a lot, I think our texters have said, you know, maybe the Golden State Warriors being this dominant makes all the other teams have to step up their game. And I hear that, and I look at it, and I say, that's why I say, what if Julius Erving had signed with the Celtics in the 80s? What if Michael Jordan had signed away from the Bulls?
Didn't matter if you stepped your game up.
What are you going to do? There's no stepping up your game to that. If Jordan had left Chicago because he was a free agent and signed with the Pistons, when the Pistons were already a great team, there's nothing any other. It's not like the other franchises, there weren't some doing really good things and fielding, you know, putting good teams on the court. And that was my takeaway from watching them play the Cavaliers.
I don't know.
This
maybe
year.
It makes me think that, man, they just, even with the players that they have, they got to all step up their games. They got to be better during the regular season. They got to push harder. They got to find players that fit the systems. The coaches have to coach better. Or unless you're just going to get left behind every year against that group. And I know you have to have players. It's all about the players.
I thought Ari made a good point that, you know, maybe is the NBA in fear of the next several years becoming like the women's college basketball with UConn? You know, who can beat mighty UConn, right? I mean, now it's a single game situation in college basketball, you know, because that becomes the problem for Golden State. You got to beat that team four times. You know, they didn't lose four times in the last 4 months of the basketball season. And that's because I think Golden State comes back better next year. If they get Iguodala re-signed, which Kevin Durant's already said he'd willing to take less, because remember, he opted out of his contract. He's going to sign a new deal, and it'll be more cap-friendly. They're going to be able to get Iguodala the money that he needs. You know, that team, and that's why I make the Jordan example or Julius Erving. That's dramatic. But
dramatic. Kevin Durant going there was
what
dramatic.
What Kevin Durant did was unprecedented. We'd never seen anything like it. That a great, transcendent, all-time player joined an already great all-time team.
And yeah, they just never did that before. No player would go. And that right there, BK Cupcake, going to a team
would
already.
Would never be considered.
No, it wouldn't be considered.
You said yesterday you would have ripped your Julius Erving poster off your wall.
Well, it's sitting. Yeah, I would have just taken it and thrown it out the window.
Be careful, guys. I mean, the Cupcake could leave this offseason.
He could.
The Pittsburgh Penguins have won back-to-back Stanley Cups, and the Warriors have only won one straight NBA Finals, so he might just go to a different sport because it's an easier route to win.
See.
Oh, come on.
He's going to join Pittsburgh.
Going to join the Patriots.
He's going to
join
a wide receiver for the Pats.
Yep. Right, and that's why, you know, you can say step up your game. You got to coach better. Everybody's got to have a better offseason. I don't know that it matters, just like it wouldn't have mattered if Jordan had joined the Pistons. I mean, no one's beating that team four times. It doesn't matter. They're just too talented. But it has led to this weird NBA right now, where everyone's,
yes.
It's almost like they're confused of how to attack it. You know, Ari had the point that some teams are just going to start planning for 3 or 4 or 5 years from now when the Warriors, these guys,
when
start
they break
to,
up. What do you mean, guys, like Danny Ainge, what he's looking forward to doing when LeBron's gone?
Yeah, well, but how do you sell season tickets with that philosophy? How do you sell tickets to your fans this year when you're worried about 5 years from now? I mean, what are you
but
selling?
We still have to July 1st for a lot of trades and all that stuff.
Oh, I think
a lot
there
going
will
on, right?
Well, I think there will be. I mean, I don't think the Kristaps Porzingis deal is dead. I don't think all of a sudden Phil Jackson isn't angry at the guy anymore because he missed his exit
interview.
No,
he's mad. He's mad. It's like Danny Ainge was mad last night.
Well, Danny Ainge was bitter at Josh Jackson because he skipped a workout that they had flown cross country to go work him out, and he didn't go. That's why he ended up in Phoenix.
Isn't that something? Because I think that would have been their guy.
Even possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly. But I still don't know why Danny Ainge wasn't more active with the Jimmy Butler thing. We don't know what actually happened behind the scenes. But this is now two times, because if you go up to Boston right now and read and listen to sports radio up there, they were after Danny Ainge to trade deadline, that he wasn't more aggressive in going after a Paul George or Jimmy Butler and try to make a run at it this year. And who knows? I mean, they ended up with a one seed. If Paul George is on that team this year in the Eastern Finals, obviously gives them a much better chance to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers.
It did.
And get to the finals. It still wouldn't have mattered against Golden State, but you know that. And now here he was in a lot of people's perception, and I would agree with him, not aggressive enough in attacking. BK says, you know what? They're going to go sign Gordon Hayward. Maybe they'll make some trades to improve. Maybe Jimmy Butler, in their mind, wasn't the absolute answer. But you know, that's that. We'll find.
They will have a lot of draft picks after next year. I mean, they have a lot. I mean, they got some stuff like 10 first-round draft picks out of all these teams.
Yeah, they've got three more draft picks in the first round each of the next 2 years. And they're from pretty bad teams, too.
That are going to be bad again.
So at some point, right, you got to do something with that. My guess would be is that Danny Ainge is just hoping LeBron leaves the East after next year to go to one of the L.A. teams and then he can do something with those assets, trade them to guys that guarantees the Celtics are going to be a force in the East for years to come.
Yeah, and I hope. And that's what I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for someone that can become a team that can maybe compete with Golden State to make the league a little bit more interesting, and that's why we're watching San Antonio. When you know, San Antonio's now gotten themselves into a situation with LaMarcus Aldridge where maybe there's animosity now, and it's growing.
To me, they're in a bad place, the Spurs.
Yeah, because now you're going to have to potentially trade LaMarcus without leverage, which means everyone knows you got to trade him or want to trade him, and so the package decreases for a guy who's 31, 32 years old. In addition to your own lacking of leverage, you also, you know, teams are going to say, well, if this guy's a headache for you.
That's right. I mean, we don't want him.
We don't need your headache type of thing, and they'll try to fleece you for the guy. And, again, if LaMarcus Aldridge is in there, how much does that make Chris Paul want to be a Spur if it's just Kawhi Leonard? So this is really an intriguing place, and, of course, everyone's just chasing Golden State and the group that they've assembled out there. It says, when are the tickets given away? What tickets are we giving away?
I don't know. What are we giving away?
Giving away tickets, BK?
You guys want to?
We got tickets,
yeah,
Buck?
We got Super Bowl 52 tickets.
Yeah, baby.
Coming up, man.
And Minnesota.
Maybe they're talking about tickets to the party.
Oh, to the party?
Oh.
No, these are special invitation only invites to the party. Like Blind Sean has a special invitation.
Yes.
If he can find it.
He can find it. Why
it's
do you?
Tough for him to find.
It's not going to be tough for him. He takes the bus. He's been doing this for a long time. He's been blind all his life, so he doesn't always fall down and run into stuff. He's taken the bus before. He's fallen into ditches before, but a lot of us have before, even when we're not blind. Sean can get here.
All right.
BK, go pick him up.
Absolutely. I don't have tickets. Now, you just got some Bob Seger tickets, so maybe he wants your Bob Seger tickets.
No, that's not happening. I'm going to see the Silver Bullet Band. It is on. And I'm going to be singing every song. I'm that guy. Yes, that's right. Head going back and forth and bobbing around.
Oh, are we supposed to be giving away Bob Seger tickets? This guy says Uncle Bob tickets. Let me go to our website. Are we supposed to be giving away tickets today, BK? I know you've had the flu and been under the bed.
Just blaming on
BK. I got
BK.
The swine flu, man.
Uncle Bob,
I know yesterday we had a special thing that we gave out a promo code that you could
get Bob
your
Seger.
The Bob Seger promo code.
That was yesterday.
For yesterday only.
Oh, here we go. It's according to our website, boys, we've got registration on HorneFM.com to get some Bob Seger tickets.
Oh, yeah, we've got to register, yeah. But I haven't been told we're giving them away just yet.
No, I think that's all.
Yeah, they try to jump on it now. They're trying to make you make that mistake. Don't fall for it.
It's a dang coaching mistake.
It's a dang coaching mistake. Don't fall for that.
That's a dang coaching mistake.
We do have a great thing going, a promotion with the Frank Irwin Center for the Bob Seger tickets. Go get registered for them, and at some point we'll tell you how to give them away.
Working on those night moves.
Against the wind.
Yes.
We'll be back, Beanie on the Horn.
Mornings with Bucky and Aaron.
All right, busy day on the Horn. We got BK and Trey in the midday coming up. BK, you going to make it? You back? Back from the swine flu or so, whatever you're dealing with in there?
I might have that Y2K.
Maybe the fleshlight gave you a swine flu.
I still haven't gotten to use it yet, man.
But Trey and BK in the midday.
Scary
props
talk.
To Trey yesterday. Kevin jumped in there, and that conversation he had with Angelo Pizzo, the writer and creator of Hoosiers, was really compelling. I listened to the whole thing. I was driving up to my son's baseball game, got to hear the whole thing. It was really good. Good questions, and really, if you love the movie Hoosiers, go listen to that. It was noon yesterday, right in the lunch hour, and really strong stuff, talking about where the inception of that film and then its making. It was good. Pretty well done. And then at the end, Angelo Pizzo, who Trey discovered is a huge college basketball fan, loves IU, got into how to fix college basketball with him, and it was pretty good. Pretty good stuff. And Pizzo was very opinionated and had strong thoughts on all of it. But it's a good conversation. They'll have their show today until 1 o'clock. And then, of course, it's Orange Bloods Radio until 3. And then Chad and Kevin this afternoon, as it is each day, your local lineup, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. of local conversation here in the great city of Austin, Texas. And then come football season, Buck. We've got local talk all day and then high school football on Friday
nights.
Yes,
indeed.
Tom Herman show on Thursday nights, high school football on Friday nights, Longhorns on Saturday, Cowboys on Sunday. What else do you need? Good night, nurse.
Not a lot going on, man. It's almost that time.
Let me mention something real quick, because I was Jeff Ketchum and the Orange Bloods guys do such a good job. I was over at orangebloods.com looking at their message board, and one dude had a really funny thread that he started talking about, I've skydived before, I've been base jumping, and he said, I've never been more scared in my life than trying to teach my daughter how to drive. Let me just say, as someone who just had their second kid get his driver's license. It is the most one of the more terrifying things that you'll experience in your life.
Ooh.
And for someone like me who's a control freak, like I don't like to ride with people anyway.
No, I like to drive. I like to be the driver.
Right. As I've said many times on this show, at 44, I've actually never been in an accident while driving, but I've been in multiple accidents while riding, both as a youngster and then grown up. So, I mean, it's kind of a – so that when you've got to actually turn that wheel over to someone who doesn't know how to drive and you can't – you're powerless. Like, they could pull into an intersection if they wanted and stop.
Yeah, that's kind of scary.
Did you ever have to do that? Did you ever teach your kids?
No, I never did. My wife did that stuff because I'd punch one of my kids in the side of the head. I couldn't have done it. I mean, she did it. She did that with the kids, and I couldn't be in the car with them. I don't think I've ever been in a car with my kids. My son AJ, that's the only one. I've never been in a car with my daughters when they've driven a car. Never.
Never.
Never. I've never been a passenger.
They're like 30 now.
I've never been in a passenger in their car when they were driving the car.
Really?
No, I never have. It's really strange. I
just
can't think of a time.
Or you chose... Always he's, chose he's, not to.
Most of the times I chose to be the
Who's
driver.
Your daddy?
Yeah, even if it's their car.
You drive it?
Let me drive. You go in and relax and turn around and talk to whoever's in the back. You don't need to be talking to me while you're driving, looking over at me. No thanks.
My old man's the opposite, man. I'm always down to be the passenger. My dad is like, you're driving. Any chance he got. When I was 15.
Really?
He had a business up in Tulsa. I'm driving from Dallas. I'm driving.
So you're a good driver.
I'm a good driver. I think I'm a good driver. No wrecks on my end.
I remember when I was 16, I got my license. That day, I took three of my buddies to the Rockets game because my dad had gotten tickets.
Nice.
And that was a long drive. I live in the suburbs. I had to go all the way downtown. It was my birthday present. So I had to pass the driver's test to be able to take my birthday present and go see the Rockets play. And I don't know that I would let my kid drive down to the summit at the time where your guy, Joel Osteen, holds court.
Yes.
Now is the Lakewood Church. But, yeah.
I'm like your one son. I didn't get my driver's license till late because I didn't have a – growing up, I mean, I didn't have a car.
My oldest son – there have been a lot of 99ers, we'll call them, kids born in that 98, 99 time frame. They're not interested in driving a car.
I wasn't interested because I didn't have a car. I wasn't going to get a car for my family anyway. So I went to school and public transportation in Boston. I never needed a car.
So he got his at 18 only because he had to get a job, which means he had to be able to get to his job. So he finally got it. He's a very good driver now, but it took him until he was 18. My other son, 16, he's got it. But I will say to all the parents out there who are trying to teach their kids to drive, because I'm about to have to endeavor that with my daughter, she just turned 15.
Oh, and they'll cry. See, that's one of the reasons, because I had to yell at my daughter.
I think she'll
be
a really good driver. But yes, again, when you give up the control and seat it and your life is in danger too, like you're in a car and you're moving. You got to take them on the highway and stuff. They got to learn.
Oh, no, I couldn't. I can't even imagine I've done that. I would have busted somebody upside the head. You're going to get me killed in here.
I'm telling you. It's one of the, like, that's why the guy's post is so funny.
Because I guess that's
like,
bonding, but I didn't bond
no,
that
it's
way.
It's not. It's horrifying. It's horrible.
Really?
When you love your kids and you also want to create a calm atmosphere, you don't want to be the guy yelling because that's not good.
Well, that would have been me. So that's why I couldn't do it.
Smacking him in the head.
Or hitting him in the ribs or something like that. Taking a rib out.
It's not going to work.
I'm sorry, I just couldn't do that. You got to know your limitations. That was my limitations. I didn't teach the kids how to drive. I'm like, no, I'm not getting in there with you.
Those kids take actual driver's ed, though?
They do.
Mine did online, and then we were the teachers. We were the actual instructors.
Ooh. Oh, but yeah. Then the football coach or whatever used to be, back in your day, the football coach used to be the guy driving around.
Yeah, I took driver's ed in high school, like actually in a class.
And the coaches were the guys that
did
that
stuff. Yeah, they had simulators in there where you got to sit and practice and
wreck
a few times. I'm like, I'm teaching my kids, I'm like, can I get a simulator before I got to actually get in the car with you?
Hell, back in my day, I think they had,
we had video games.
Had like double brakes, like where the guy was on that other side.
Yeah, he had a brake.
He would screw with you.
Yeah, well, I don't have that in my car.
You don't, or you'd be braking all the time.
Dude, it is, and then there's a moment, and I just had this with my 16-year-old. Once he finally gets his license, and he had to drive to baseball practice, which he had to go probably 25 minutes into town, and when he pulls out of the driveway for the first time by himself, and you're like, oh gosh, and you're just thinking about everything possible that could happen between there and his baseball practice. It's the worst. I'm like, dude, text me when you get there. And you can't call him to check on him because you don't certainly want him on his phone in his car. Oh, my gosh.
People tend to think I'm this liberal guy. I'm very old-fashioned and conservative in a lot of ways. And a lot of things my dad didn't, he wasn't around. And so I just kind of took upon myself. I didn't, you know, stuff like drinking. Like when my sons turned 21 or my kids turned 21 and people would go out and have a drink with their dad, I never. My kids never had a drink with me. I was like, no, I'm not taking you somewhere where you turn 21 and sitting at a bar having a drink with you because you turned 21. You go with your friends. I'm your dad. I ain't your drinking buddy.
We'll see.
You know what I mean? I just never did stuff like that.
We'll see where they are. But just interesting. I thought that was funny, and it struck a nerve with me. And because I'm about to go through with my daughter. It is for someone who likes to drive and is in control. That is the scariest thing.
Yeah, I would have made my daughter cry. My one daughter would have been in tears because the minute I got in there with like a football helmet on when she was in there, she wouldn't have thought that was funny.
Break!
Break the damn thing, will you?
No,
I'd have been awful.
Break.
Stay in your lane.
Break.
Oh. You ever hit the LeVar ball?
That'd be great if I had that.
Oh, man, it's terrifying. But so, yeah, props to all the parents that are having to do that these days. And we'll see how it goes with my daughter. But I'm two down.
And I've seen them out there driving. Yesterday was a horrible driving day for me. People were just... Yesterday was weird. They were in cutoff mode yesterday. I'm like, wait a minute. It's just Thursday. It's noontime. Why are you people so mad at everybody? And trying to cut me off and, you know, not letting me in spaces. You know, when there's when something happens and you know, you're supposed to pull over in the left-hand lane, E, and I'm not trying to get all the way up there up front and then I'm trying to melt in. I'm like, let me melt in here, dude. He's looking over at me like, I'm not going to let you in. I'm not let you.
Angry
I'm
Joe
like,
over
why
there.
Are you angry? I'm not trying to do anything. I'm just trying to get somewhere like you. If you let me in, the next person, I'll let that person melt in and everything will be just kind of smooth. But no, Angry Joe over there is keeping the same pace with me and not letting me get over. I mean, really, Joe?
Yeah, no, but it's a terrifying.
I wish
experience.
I had the old van. I'd have crashed right sideways into him. Bang! Here you go, Angry Joe.
We're getting here. We're getting here with Walt Kowalski over there, Gran Torino.
But
at some point, you're going to go buy an old beater and you're just going to go slamming into people.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry about that. I was on my cell phone. Sorry. I'm sorry, Brandon, in the back, but I was using the phone. Hey, old man, you're not supposed to use that phone. Oh, I didn't know that.
We'll be back. B&E on the horn. We'll wrap things up on a Friday, get you off to your weekend, tell you about all the fun things coming next week and how you can win Bob Seger tickets, a Dave Campbell's Texas football copy. We'll get to all that coming up and then send you off to the rest of the day. It's B&E on a Thursday.
B&E.
All right, I want to thank Steven on the Twitters, talking about things that are horrifying and terrifying. Teaching your kids to drive is one of them, but he just sent us a GIF. I'm going with GIF. I don't care what the owner says, the inventor, GIF. I'm going GIF of a bull, like at a bullfight. How about this, BK? Jumping into the stands. And it's like Ron Artest. This bull was like, there was a dude in a red shirt. It was like he was going after this.
Oh, my goodness.
That ain't true.
Yeah. I don't think you can Photoshop this deal. He's like wrecking shop. Then he's into the stands.
And people are going down like bowling pins.
I don't know if this is recent, but that's a, like, see
that's a long leap for a bull, isn't it?
I know. Well, you know, they teach him to see red, right? And that makes him mad. Did you see the dude in the red shirt sitting right in the front
row? I know. He went right after that dude.
Well, that's what he was jumping in to do, I guess. And he went right after him.
And he got him.
He got him.
And then he got a bunch of other people in red.
Well, there were a bunch of... Oh,
look at them all in red. He's after
lady. Jeez, man.
Picky, I had a heart attack if I saw that coming.
Hang on. It's like a 2,000-pound bull.
He jumped the railing.
I know. It's Ron Artest the bull.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't want to see that. That'd be a nightmare right there.
Ron Artest, favorite moment in sports history.
That
this,
bull.
This might be favorite moment in bull riding history. This is nuts.
The bull got his revenge.
Yeah, man.
Don't wear a red shirt to a bullfight. Yeah, Friday tip of the morning.
That is a good tip. It's a great tip.
Swim down when you see the sharks.
Swim down when you see a shark.
And don't wear red.
Hire someone to teach your kids to drive.
Right.
And don't wear red to a bullfight. Those are the tips of the morning. Also, if you want to be good at golf, get to one of those Dave Pels short game clinics. We had Dave Pels on the show earlier talking about those clinics and short game and Phil Mickelson. That was terrific. Ari Temkin breaking down the Spurs. He now does believe that LaMarcus Aldridge will be traded this offseason. Where? We'll all find out. But he thinks there's some acrimony there that is going to force the hand that there's no I in Spurs. And if LaMarcus is making it about him, then that's going to be a problem for R.C. Buford and Greg Popovich. We shall see. So that's out there. Busy weekend, Buck. TCU's got to beat Florida twice.
Yes. Is that for the championship, though? Is that the championship game, or there's still another semi?
Well, no. They're now down to four. They're down to the final four. Okay, they've dispatched to four others. So now it's Florida and Oregon State are sitting at 2-0 and have been sitting for the week. So now on this side, it's Florida State on the other side, I believe. Is it Florida State that's on the other side, BK?
Oregon State.
Oregon State and Florida State.
Yeah.
LSU.
LSU knocked off Florida State. That's right. So it's LSU, and LSU and TCU are in the same spot. They've got to beat Oregon State and Florida twice. Obviously, those two teams only have to win one, and then they'll be into the final, which is the final two, and they play a best two out of three. It looks like it'll be Florida and LSU or Florida and Oregon State for the championship. And remember, Oregon State has lost four games all year. So, you know, for them to not win the championship, it's ridiculous, right?
Oh, it is. I'm over here thinking just this whole national, isn't it? Did you say national take a dog to
work day?
Or lunch, or take the dog. I'm just, in my mind, you know, it just flashed in my mind.
Uh-oh, I don't want to know.
You need to know. It just happened. I mean, it just happened. You know how things are just going inside this dome here in my medulla oblongata? Okay, you know what just flashed in front of me? Going to lunch today, and there is a pit bull that's just had like 12 puppies just laid out underneath the table. Just, you know.
Did that just hit your head?
It just hit my face because it's national take a dog to lunch. I go to lunch, and there's Mama Pitbull that's just had like a dozen baby pits, and their owner decided to take them to lunch where I am. I mean, the babies aren't with them, but there's those Mama nipples all over the place, and I'm trying to eat a cheesesteak sandwich. I mean, damn, leave your dog at home, will you please? Stop bringing the dog out to eat.
Man.
No, the dog is not a part of the family.
Family dinner, going to family dinner, bring the family puppy.
Have you been bringing that dog of yours to Doc's backyard and
never
stuff?
Never one time.
See, you don't do that. You say that crap, but you never bring your dog.
I would never bring my dog to dinner. We took it to peek at the park, bring your dog to the Round Rock game one time.
Okay, that's fine, but everybody's dog is invited and everybody's dog is snipped.
And I won't do that again.
Oh, you already found out that's not happening
that
again?
That won't happen again. No, sir.
BK, is your lunch ruined with Pit Bull Mama and her nipples, like 12 of them, laying there while you try
Has
to
Has that
eat.
Ever happened, though? Have you ever seen that?
Yes, I have, okay? I have seen
With
that.
With all the puppies?
No, the puppies aren't there, but the pit bull just had...
Just popping them out at lunch?
They're just... The dog's laying sideways, and there the nipples are all over the place. I'm trying to have a Greek salad, and I got nipples everywhere. You think that's fun?
It was a cheesesteak. Now it's a Greek salad that changes the equation.
Can we just leave our
it's
animals...
too hot for a cheesesteak today.
Dude, can we leave them? Can we leave the dog at home today? It's 102.
Your dog to work day. People love their dogs.
It's 102.
Yeah, leave them the air conditioning.
Yeah, it's a good idea, E.
Here's another tip that someone said. Don't fry bacon in the nude. That's true. You should never fry bacon. You ever tried that? Either with your shirt off? That's a bad plan.
Or like I did, try to iron my shirt after with the shirt on one time.
Did you get that told iron? That?
I thought the iron was just semi-warm and there's a little spot
like
on the side.
The warning label's on soap. They say, don't eat the soap.
And I did that, and the iron mark was right on the side of my waistline for like 3 years.
Oh. For that long? How long did you hold it down there?
Not long. I just tried to get a spot, but I said, oh, it's...
That iron's hot.
Well, the iron was awful. It seemed like 10 minutes or whatever. I was running out of the house to go to the football office, and I just tried to hit a spot. That thing went, shh, like, oh.
Branded yourself?
For like 2 years with the tip of the iron.
Just the tip?
Just the tip. That's it.
It says, don't wear a weighted lead vest to do a run during a lightning storm either. My brother's a cop in Jonestown. Some lady went jogging, got hit by lightning because she was wearing a vest. She didn't make it. Who does that?
I don't know.
I know what it is. Those ladies, people like to wear a leaded vest so they put weight, so their jog, they get more out of their jog, those super joggers.
But what's not in a storm.
What's wrong with frying bacon in the newt?
The spittle.
It spatters you.
Yeah, but then your clothes don't smell bad.
Yeah, but you got little fry marks all over yourself.
Burn marks.
Trying to get branded by the bacon, maybe.
Get bacon branded on your willy.
Hey, you need to get better, BK. You need to take this weekend to get better.
Glad it's the weekend, no doubt.
Get better. We'll see everybody on Monday. Enjoy the weekend. We'll be back 6 to 10 Monday morning. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. We'll see you. Best of the Horn is next.